What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, nurturing relationships as a single athletic trainer. This week, we've got Megan McKay and John Seco. John is just fresh off a national championship with the Michigan Bucks. He's also the Birmingham Bloomfield Community Coalition Student Athlete Project Coordinator. He works at Bloomfield Hills High School, and he has two dogs and is single. Megan is the outreach athletic trainer working with Baylor College of Medicine, 11 years in the profession, works extensively with collegiate athletics and therapy setting, and she's also done quite a good bit with rugby and lacrosse. And so Megan actually, I think, was just recently out of town working with rugby. Is that what you said, Megan?
I was at a rugby sports medicine conference and then attended Rugby Sevens tournament in Vegas.
There you go. So both of these guys were just getting back in because John said he went and tried to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger at a conference that is kind of similar setup to NATA, where there's sessions and then there's a expo center, and so you get to see all these Arnold Schwarzenegger fanatics. And he said it was very interesting. So check out the Arnold Fitness Conference, something like
fitness.
That.
Yes, yeah, it's a big thing. It's a lot of fun. There's actually a lot of things going on there other than just bodybuilding. So they have all kinds of different sports, and like I said, there's a ton of vendors there as well. No CEUs, but it's definitely a good time, good people watching.
Very good. I'm the host, Jeremy Jackson. This show is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/relationships2. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/relationships2. And again, this is nurturing relationships as a single athletic trainer. All right, we're going to start off with just the basis. What does your day look like? And then we're going to go from there. That way we get an understanding of where you're coming from. And Megan, we'll start with you.
Well, I did not put in my little bio section, I'm single, but I've been with my boyfriend for 4.5 years, I guess, now. So that's my bit on being single. I'm semi-single, but and I also have one dog. So if she starts whining during this, I apologize. So my regular day is different every day. Like today, I'm going a little bit later. I'm going to be contracted out to a group in town for about 2 months. So I'll be kind of out of the office a little bit more. But typically, I'm kind of the outreach coordinator at Baylor College of Medicine. Our sports medicine program is only about three years old. We've restarted it within the college. And so it's anything. I could be in marketing meetings all day. I could be going and having meetings with schools, groups, teams, clubs, anything like that to try to get new business. I could also be on the sideline covering any number of events. So my day is, there's never a normal day. It's just whatever is happening that day is kind of what I'm doing. So I'm doing a little bit of business development and patient care as well. So that's typically what I do. And then in my free time, I try to spend time with my dog, my boyfriend, and I'm also on the SWATA EDAC, Ethnic Diversity Advisory Council Committee, and on GHATS here in Houston, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society. And then I also work with Wales men's national lacrosse team. Right now they're getting ready to ramp up, starting training for the next year and a half for Worlds in 2018. So I do a little bit of that on my free time as well. So that'll get ramped up here. I've kind of taken a break since the summer, since we went to Budapest, but I'll start getting ramped up with work for that. So.
All right. So even though you're quote unquote single or not married, there doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of free time, but it's kind of a very fluid, random schedule. So, all right, John, let's hear a little bit about your schedule.
excuse me. My schedule, my daily schedule, I kind of go into the high school every day around noon or 1 o'clock, probably a lot closer to 1 o'clock than noon. And I'm there until about the end of event. So very typical for a high school athletic trainer. We're hosting districts this week, so this is going to be a little bit of a longer week for me. You know, I'm going to be there until about 9 or 10 o'clock every night. And then, you know, normal weekend coverages, things like that. At the high school, we have the summer off, and that's where I spend my time with the Michigan Bucks. So it's a lot of fun working with them. And I actually recently just resigned my position with the Birmingham Bloomfield Community Coalition. Our high school, we combined a handful of years ago, and it's just been getting little bit more and more busy. We have a lot of student athletes, so I wanted to be able to, give pretty much everything I could to them rather than trying to take time away and doing other things outside of it. So I'm a little bit more married to my job than I used to be, but I'm trying to find that balance and continue to build relationships outside of work too. Megan said, kind of giving her bio, I was recently, a couple of years ago, I went through a divorce. So, when you brought up this topic, I just wanted to, lend my support to anybody else that's kind of going out there in the profession. I know it's tough to find that balance, and there is some good that can come out of things, and try to find out who you really are and what you want and what makes you happy. So I'm kind of here to lend that voice of the person that's kind of gone through something and is single and happy with themselves.
Very good. I'm married. I've been married for going on 12 years this summer. We have got 3 kids. And so speaking from the single athletic trainer perspective, I really can't do that very well because I was dating my wife, Sarah, before I graduated college. We got married after my first year of work as a professional. And so most of my working years have been married. So that's another reason why I wanted to do this specific one with you guys, because it's a great perspective that I personally don't have. So, John, tell me a little bit.
Can you tell everybody your shirt real quick?
All right. So for the audio only version, it's a shirt that I intentionally wore today. It's a shirt that I bought. It says, "I love my wife" in really big letters. And so I wear it out, and sometimes I get people like, "Oh, your wife made you wear that?" No, I chose to. And then sometimes you get the guys like, "Hey, man, I really like that shirt. Where'd you get that?" And so, you get to start a conversation. But either way, it's something that in a lot of my emails, the signature says, "I love my wife." And a lot of my emails, it's because I want everybody to know that. Like, she's important to me and I value her. And so that's one of the ways that I show her and I continue to grow that relationship. So, Megan, tell me a little bit about the way that you connect with your boyfriend. So you've been dating him for 4+ years. So how do you nurture that relationship?
Really, it's about, he's not really ever been a planner per se. He'll be like, "Oh, hey, let's go on a ski trip next weekend," and then he's booked tickets with all his friends that night at the pub for the next weekend, something like that. So he's a little bit more spontaneous. So as we've started dating, we've just learned that we have to plan, and that's something he's been able to really come around with in order to make our relationship work with my job. He's an engineer, so he's got a very much more regular schedule. Occasionally he'll go offshore, have meetings really early or really late, things like that. But typically it's pretty set schedule for him. And so I think it was a little bit different for him dating me, but I also lucked out and got the most solitary. Like, he's always been extremely, he's an extroverted introvert, I like to think. And so he really likes his alone time as well. So that works out well for us. So as far as connecting, really, it's just a matter of talking about our schedule. I know when you're in a long-term relationship, it can seem kind of like you get in a rut when you're just talking about schedules. But for us, we do it as a means to have better quality time when we are together. I talk about the millennials these days and things like that and how attached they are to their phones, but that's been great for us. Texting, all that kind of stuff, being able to do that throughout the day when we're on trips, stuff like that really helps us out. So, FaceTime on video conferencing type stuff really helps us stay connected even when we are on opposite schedules. So I think those are valuable things for us, is just communicating those schedules and being willing to commit, make plans, and then stick to those plans and not let it work interfere with those if we can. I think that's been pretty helpful.
All right. So you're talking about communicating when you're on trips and also communicating your schedule. My wife is able to log on to my email and see my schedule. And do you guys have anything like that? We've tried some different apps before and they just didn't really seem to work with the work email where I'd keep everything and then with a personal thing. So you guys have anything like that?
Yeah, I use Google Gmail and the calendar on there. I think it's awesome. It's like when you're in my inner circle, you're going to be a part of my Google calendar. So everybody knows that if I'm going to be gone late or if I'm going on a trip, things like that, like my parents, I have them on that calendar so that they can just log on real quick and see, hey, he's going to be gone for this weekend or things like that. I think it's helped a lot. with planning for my on my end.
All right, so Google Calendar, good, Megan.
Yeah, no, we've just never merged anything like that, I would say. I haven't ever with my friends either. It's just been direct communication for me. Maybe that's just the way I like to do it a little bit better. Because even, you know, my close college friends that I don't live in the same town with, we know what each other are doing every weekend, things like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess for me, I've just never never really thought to do that. You know, we've got a shared calendar at work, so everybody can look at everybody's schedule, but I've never thought to do that personally.
Gotcha. And then you said communicating when you're on trip. So maybe when you're over there in Budapest working with lacrosse or rugby, what was your favorite way to connect?
For when you're international, I find WhatsApp to be a lot easier. It's just a messaging system, really. I think now if they have video calling, newer for them, that worked out really well. I'm not typically going to places like Budapest, and I wasn't actually in Budapest. I was in a really small town, about 40-minute train ride outside, and in a college dorm, and we were in the nice dorm, and it was interesting. So Wi-Fi was always an issue, so we could really only communicate when we were in the dorm and in Wi-Fi. So those situations, you really have to plan the time that you're talking to someone. And with the time difference, that can be difficult, but communicating that ahead of time. And then being with someone who's willing to compromise that too, they understand that things come up that, oh, I might've had a massive injury today, shoot them a quick message and they'll know I'm going to be out of pocket for the rest of the day, that I've got to do treatments and deal with something. So, WhatsApp's a really good one, obviously on, you know, FaceTime, things like that. If I don't know what Android users use, but,
well, this is it right here. Google Hangouts.
Yeah, Google Hangouts, there you go. But FaceTime's a good one for me as an iPhone person. So that's really simple, and I can do that. You know, so that's something that I typically do for that.
All right, John, same question. As far as actually physically talking rather than just sharing a calendar?
Yeah, I mean, it's just trying to be proactive and getting out there. So if I'm I got a free weekend or free evening, it's calling or you know, I'm very, very lucky that I just purchased a house this past summer, and there's five of us that all live within a good half mile radius. So, you know, there's a couple friends that are two blocks down the road from me. So I'll just kind of walk over there, and it's very old fashioned just to go over That's somebody's house, knock on the door and say hi or just hang out for a little bit. It's a lot of fun. It was not planned at all. But it's really a lot of fun just to have friends that are really, really close to you, in you know, physical distance. So yeah, we do a good job of calling each other. We have a big neighbors group text message that we'll go back and forth with. So
yeah, I wish, like, I know growing up that we had that we would just walk over or that kind of thing. And it just doesn't seem to be that way. I don't really know anybody in my neighborhood except for the people who are right, you know, next to me. You know, and that's just because I've said hello. So I don't really have a group of friends that I can walk over to. So yeah, I definitely miss that.
It was completely unplanned. I signed the lease on my house the next day. One of really, really good friends of mine. I knew he was looking in the area, but I didn't know he was looking like two blocks away. And I asked him, I was like, hey, what's the deal with your house? Are you signing? And did you find anything yet? He's like, yeah, we signed the lease and we're moving in. I said, oh, what house was it? And he sent me the address and it was two blocks away. So I'm moving in one day, and the next day I helped him move in, and it's nice, you know. He's kind of more of a central house than mine, so you know, on a weekend or weekday, if there's something going on, or if we all just want to hang out and on the couch, it's a great place to just go hang out. You know, it's like you said, being young again, and just walking over to somebody's house and letting ourselves in, or yeah, helping each other out with our dogs.
All right. So, what are some of the things that you do? Some of the ways that you maintain those friendships?
You know, it's making sure I'm getting in contact with friends. You know, it's getting harder and harder. Just, I think the way things are going with, you know, with everything, you let other things kind of, you know, get in the way, or you reprioritize every day. You know, it's, I know I have to work late tonight, and then something else comes up. Next thing, you know, something else comes up and you forgot to send a text message out to a friend, or you forgot to call somebody back. You know, for me, it's trying to reprioritize those things and making sure I'm calling somebody on the way home from work, or, you know, responding to a text message, or, you know, just trying to say hello to those people that I think are close to me, or I feel that are close to me. I try my best to keep in contact with those people. And, you know, I understand that everybody else is busy, and, you know, with my schedule, it's different than a lot of other people. So, you know, I just try to keep an open mind about, you know, if somebody can't return a text message or a phone call, and, you know, hopefully they understand the same about me.
Okay, Megan, what are some of the things that you do with your friends to maintain those relationships?
Well, I have a couple girlfriends from college. We're all really close. We usually all four of us get together and stay in a hotel at NATA together, even now after being out of the profession all these years. You know, we can probably afford to not all cram in one hotel room, but we still choose to. It's a lot of fun. And the four of us, we have a group chat going. We've probably had that going since 2006, I want to say, or seven. I don't know. Whenever group texting was a thing, we started doing that. And I know a lot of the younger kids do that as well. So that's been great for us. Like I was saying, like, you know, they know I'm going to Vegas. So that we know, you know, I know what big things going on in Jen's life or whatever. You know, one of them's been in a very committed long-term relationship for many, many years, and they just finally got engaged. But the other one was single until like 2 months ago, and then the other one's married with kids. So we're all kind of all over the map as far as the lifestyles that we've chosen. As far as relationships, we've always been able to maintain that. So that's been really good for us. And I think it's really helped me understand everyone else's kind of way of life a little bit too. Whenever my friends had kids and, you know, got married, and in particular when they had kids, I'd always, you know, be tentative to call or reach out because I know they're tired. They never have sleep. I don't want to wake the baby, things like that. But I've learned to just shoot them a quick text and be like, you know, get back to me when you can. So at least they know I am reaching out, not just disappearing because I'm too afraid to disrupt that new life that they have. So that's one thing for me too. And then recently I've started calling people on the way home. I have hands-free in my car now. And, you know, that's pretty new for me. So now I've used that to try to keep better in touch with extended family members that I'm not so good at keeping in touch with. Kind of decided to do that, not really as a New Year's resolution, but it's just kind of dawned on me around the same time that I can do that. So whenever, you know, I'm driving to Austin or San Antonio to work things, or, you know, I've got 45 or an hour long trip to go work a game, I'll shoot a phone call to one of my aunts or my parents or something like that, because I only have one sister that lives here in town. The rest are friends that I've made since moving back here 4 years ago. So, so yeah, it's interesting, various ways you have to learn to keep in touch with people. I'm also in two book clubs, so I do that here for my in-town friends. I always see them once a month, which is great. Some of them I see outside of that, but I always know I've got that one date a month that I can go see all of them. So kind of a lot of different ways.
You also mentioned something about like sand volleyball, club volleyball, something like that.
Yeah. I grew up in Houston, moved around for 12 years with college in Michigan, came back for grad school, Texas State, moved to Maryland for 4 years. So I was gone for 12 years. When I moved back, I hadn't really kept in touch with that many friends from high school. And the ones I do keep in touch with live in a very different area of town than I do, so I don't see them as often. So I joined a beer league sand volleyball team just to make friends, that kind of thing. One of the girls invited me to her team. I met through a group we sponsored at work, actually. It's so random. And now I've been with that volleyball team for over 2 years now. We're still going. We actually have playoffs next week, but top seed going in the tournament. But no, it's really fun because it's, even if I'm super busy, I know it's only an hour out of my day. We're only on the court for about half hour. So if I'm super swamped, I'll just go play, come back. But if I've got time, we'll all get there a little bit early, eat some food, you know, have a beverage, go play, hang out a little bit afterwards. So that's nice too. You know, and that's something at work I try to work around because our schedule is so crazy at work. I know what day of the week I have that every week. So I really try to amp up and work with my coworkers on me being able to do that day of the week too. So, you know, sometimes I have to miss for work, but I really try not to.
Gotcha. I listened to Smart Passive Income from Pat Flynn. It's his podcast. And one of the things he talks about all the time is scheduling. Like, he schedules even his distractions, which is exactly what you're saying right there. You kind of schedule your work around that social time, that fun, that distraction. So that's another idea to do, is to work intentionally put that on your calendar, just like John was saying, he shares that calendar with his close circle, that if we write it in, hey, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, or hey, I'm going to go visit so-and-so, or I'm going to call this, and just like Megan's establishing that habit of calling people when she's got a long car ride. My car ride is 10 minutes, usually in the morning, and so it wouldn't do very good. And I have to go through like three school zones most of the time, you know, depending on what time I'm coming or going, but so that doesn't work very well either. But all right, John, you talked about sharing your calendar with your family. What else do you do to stay in touch or close to your family?
You know, I'm going to talk about, you know, prioritizing and just making sure that's family is always going to be my number one thing. I know it sounds a little cliche, but you know, when I was writing up the notes for this, I just kind of put in parentheses about my Oakland story. I worked for Oakland University, a Division I university, right out of grad school. I spent 4 years there, and you know, I worked my fingers to the bone there. And my kind of epiphany moment that I knew I needed a change was Easter Sunday. We were covering a baseball game. I was kind of cleaning up the field, and you know, it's 5-6 o'clock at night on a Sunday and Easter Sunday, and kind of turn around and I realized that the stadium was empty, completely empty. And I'm over here emptying coolers, things like that. And I'm like, well, it's a little too late to go to family dinner. And here I am, the only human being on campus right now, cleaning out a cooler. And I've completely missed a holiday and time with family. And, you know, I knew I needed a change. So, you know, that summer is when I left Oakland and took the job with the high school. And kind of my resolution at that moment was to make sure that family is always going to be first. So if I see a phone call come across my phone, or I'm doing something, it's from mom or dad or somebody else like that, you know, I'm going to drop everything and make sure I pick up that phone call. You know, I've been lucky. I just bought a new house, and I bought my house closer to my parents. One of the things I never really wanted to do, but it's been nice. My dad actually fell off a ladder in August, I think. Broke his leg. So I was able to run over to the house real quick, help out with that. And, you know, he was in and out of the hospital with that. So just being able close and making sure that work knows that, hey, family's always going to be my priority. So if something happens, I need to be somewhere else and I can't come into work that day, people are going to have to deal with it. You know, in the past, I would fret about it. And, you know, I would miss family time. I would miss things like that, people being in the hospital, and because I would prioritize work over family. And that's just not the case anymore for me. So, like I said, if something happens, or if somebody's going in, or, you know, there's a doctor's appointment that I need to be at with my parents, or, you know, a family member, and I have to miss work for it, then I'm missing work for it. It's family's a little bit more important, than work. And I love people I work with. I absolutely love, you know, my work family. I love the kids I work with, and they're important to me as well. But you know, they're just going to have a little bit less importance than my actual family does.
I have told this story before. Whenever our first son was born, he was born on a Friday, and then that Monday was the first day back to work for football. And so it was busy. It was August, you know, it's all this other stuff. And so born on Friday, we come home Sunday. So I go back to work on Monday. I will admit I am the dumbest person. Right. And so it's because I didn't have anybody telling me, hey, you need to take some time off. Hey, this is a life changing event. Whatever's going on at work, we can take care of it. So every time I have one of these coaches or somebody around me having a, you know, hey, we're expecting a kid, I'm like, look, dude, plan right now to take the max. If they'll give you 6 weeks, then take 4 weeks now and save 2 weeks for, you know, after your wife goes back to work or whatever. But you need to be home with your wife and your kid, because I was literally 15 feet away from my wife washing dishes in the kitchen. She was sitting in there nursing our child, and she was mad at me because I wasn't sitting at her feet, just being there with her as she was uncomfortable in going through that. It's completely life-changing. And so, yeah, I didn't realize the importance of putting family first. And as a huge lesson that I've learned is, you know what, they're going to be okay here. They're going to be all right.
Yeah. They'll go on. Things will move on. Yeah.
So, Megan, you talked about using your drive time to make phone calls, again, using your hands-free device. So what else have you done to maintain your family relationships?
My family's really big. There's 6 kids in the family, and both my parents, and we're kind of all over the place. My sister and I, one of my sisters and I live here. I have a brother and sister in Austin, a sister in upstate New York, and I also have a brother in New York. And then my parents split time between upstate New York, now that they're retired, and the north of Austin now. They used to live here. But so we're kind of all over the place. We've kind of always been a little bit nomadic. The age difference is 19 years between the oldest and youngest as well. So when my little brother was born, my sister was in college. So we've never been super close. We've never been the kind that we have to call and talk to our mom every day. They've been really good about letting us lead independent lives. And so for us, it's just a matter of, you know, just checking in, especially now that my parents are retired, things like that. I'm trying to be a little bit better about that. And then just realizing, you know, how we're adults now, we have different lives, and, you know, realizing, oh, I didn't realize my brother was changing jobs. And so recognizing that we don't realize those things about each other has kind of made us more aware of how infrequent we actually talk to each other. So we're all trying to make a little bit better of an effort to keep in touch that way, because we all have very different lives as well. So, you know, we love each other, but they're all a lot like me. Some have family, some don't, but we're all very nomadic. We love to travel. We always have a million things going on, so we're not the best family at keeping in touch. I always kind of envy some of my friends who talk to their parents, like every Sunday they talk to their parents or whatnot. I don't, but I think for me, it's just a matter of letting them know I'm available too. They know I have a crazy job, but they know I'll answer when I can. And then if I'm on the phone with them, they know if I say, gotta go and hang up, that I'll call right back, that something's happened on the field somewhere, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I've kind of just worked that into their expectation of me as well, so they feel comfortable reaching out to me, even though I have a crazy lifestyle.
My mom, actually, like whenever our first son was born, we said, hey, you know, why don't we just schedule a day so that, you know, every Sunday afternoon you can come over. We'll plan for that. That way you have a regular time that you can come over. You know that Sunday you're never working, you know, so you can go to church and then you can do whatever and come over to our house afterwards. So that's one of the ways that we've kind of established that relationship and built that with my mom and built that with her interacting with my kids. With my dad, it's a little different, and I kind of have to go to him. So like he has a deer lease in Huntsville, and I just took the boys there. We've been there, I don't know, 10 times in the last 2 or 3 years, just because it's an opportunity, one, for me to get away and invest in time with my kids. But another way is for me to hang out with my dad and for my kids to see my dad, because otherwise they don't really get to see him a whole lot unless we go to him. So, and then another thing is you were talking about the group texting. I guess I have to apologize. I'll have to apologize to my siblings, but they had a group text going on, and I get really frustrated or annoyed with that, because it's like, yes, I don't need 70 texts saying smiley face or okay, good job, or yay. I'm like, really, it's so annoying. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. Otherwise, talk to them. But
or a dead battery on the field. That's the worst. Yeah.
Well, I could deal with that. I probably need to put the phone down anyways, quit looking at Twitter. But
that's what the disturb feature is for. You can turn it off until you can go back through and catch up to the rest of the messages.
Yeah, see, I guess that's what I need to do. And, you know, I have a smartwatch. And so, like, if I get a text on my phone, it buzzes on my phone and on my watch. And I'm like, And so
that's what we have now.
Yes, I need to go back and apologize and say, hey, guys, like, I understand this is a way for us to connect. We don't talk very often, really. At all, but I need to be more willing to put up with that in order to be involved in their lives, because we're all of us are married or in a relationship and have kids, and so we're all similar, but not anywhere the same job. You know, my sister lives in Virginia, has 5 kids, and you know, so I got 2 of them that live here in Texas, but other parts of Texas. So I need to go back and fix that situation there. Even here, I am 35 years old, learning to communicate with my siblings. So,
John, it's fluid. You still have to. You're always going to be learning how to do that.
All right, John. I see in the video you can see John's got one of his dogs with him. What kind of dog you got there, John?
He is a Shih Tzu Jack Russell mix. I think he's a rescue, so he's been with me for about 10 years now. He's my little man, my best friend.
All right, licking on his neck. Very nice. Get that.
No.
Okay. Megan, we're going to start with you, because I know in one of the comments, I want you to discuss how singles being has affected others' expectation of you at work. So we're going to start with you, Megan.
I'm going to preface this with saying it's not ever been any one job or one boss in particular or coworker. It's just something that I've noticed throughout my career, and it's become more, I've become more aware of it than I was before. I don't know why, but so a story I remember in grad school, one of the assistant staff athletic trainers was single. She has a dog, and then I was single. Everybody else is pretty much married and had kids, et cetera. All of that. And I can remember, you know, so-and-so's kid got sick. Hey, do you mind staying a little late after volleyball, cover basketball practice, so I can run home? My wife's doing this with this other kid. She can't get over there. Yep, sure, no problem. I'll take care of it. Things like that happen all the time, right? That stuff like that happens at work often. You have to rely on your coworkers to help bail you out of that kind of stuff. And we always do willingly. Right, where you want to take care of everybody else. But I found that being single, something in that conversation changes when it's me. But, you know, let's say, oh, something came up with my dog, I have to run home, whatever, or, you know, no, I can't make that right now. I need to go do this for whatever it is in my life, but I can do it at this time. And I tend to get questioned about that a lot more. I get kind of a 20 questions about, well, why can't you just do that later or whatever it might be. And I've recognized that essentially there's just less value put on whatever it is that I have to do than whatever it is a married or parent, a married person or a parent has to do. And I don't know why that is. I don't know that it's necessary. I know it's not personal. I'll start with saying that. I don't take it as a personal offense. But it just is one of those things I've noticed. All of a sudden, I get all these questions about why I can't just adjust whatever it is I have to do. And it's kind of frustrating, you know? Like, I've gone 3 months past due getting my oil changed at one point in my life because I don't have a man to just go do that for me or, you know, oh, let me just get my husband to do that or whatever it is. I don't have that luxury. My dog is my dog. She can't let herself out of the house to go to the bathroom. So if I'm working a 15-hour day, I need to take some time in the middle of the day to go let her out for 20 minutes, you know? So, you know, I can't afford a dog sitter. So guess what? I've got to go do that. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's just made me realize that, you know what? It's my personal time and that needs to be respected. And so I've had those conversations with newer coworkers at my newer job that I've been at for 3 years now. And that's gone a lot better, them recognizing it. And I also have talked to other single women in the workplace and single men too, actually. And they kind of have found that to be the case too, that you're just, all of a sudden you're in the third degree. That's why you need to take off. Whereas if it's about a child or your spouse, there's no question. Yep, absolutely, just go. And they're out the door in 30 seconds. So it was just this weird epiphany I had. And then I realized that every other single working person I know kind of goes through that same thing. So I was like, okay, it's not just me. So I don't know if John experiences that as well or not, but.
Yeah, I definitely do. You almost see it in their face. You know, hey, we have a game on Saturday. Are you going to be there? No, I'm not. And they almost kind of, they give you that look. Well, you're single. You should just be going to and from work. Like, you know, nobody's, and I don't know if it's just a, you know, something that people just kind of think of, or, you know, or if somebody is in a relationship or is married or has kids that they think about that before. But, you know, I've learned to become a little bit more, upfront about that, you know, saying, hey, this is my weekend. This is my time away from here. You know, I may be single, you know, but this is still my time. And this past weekend, you know, when I went away for, to go to Columbus, I told everybody, hey, it's my birthday weekend. You know, I'm going to do work stuff, but I'm still taking time for myself. I'm going to miss work. And people become a little bit more understanding, but yeah, you still have to be on the offensive a little bit, before somebody starts questioning you, you know, cause, it can become a little bit, annoying that you have to answer these questions, you know, well, you're not doing anything on Saturday at 8 p.m. because you're single. Like, no, I have a life, you know, I, and even if my life is just sitting on my couch for 2 hours, like that's my time. Like, I shouldn't have to answer that question, but you know, unfortunately we do answer that question and, you know, I'm okay with it now. But yeah, like I said, I'm a little bit more upfront with saying, hey, I'm not working because of this.
Sometimes I just won't even give them a reason. It's my personal time. I'm taking my personal time. So, a lot of other coworkers, they're just out. They don't tell you why they're out. They're like, oh, I'm not coming in, whatever. Nobody ever asks or whatever. So I've just started I don't need to tell them my life story to take my PTO that I've earned. And especially knowing myself that I've planned that the best way possible to disrupt my work as little as possible.
Right.
I do always go into it with that consideration. Like, okay, well, there's really not anything going on. This isn't going to affect anyone else. Which, I shouldn't have to do that either, but we're good people. We work hard. We like our coworkers. So,
right.
I'm a nice person about it, not just dip out of work or whatever. But I've started to kind of stop answering that question. It's not, why do I need to go through the fifth degree for
personal
time? Yeah. So my coworkers have kind of come around to that, which is really good. And then when we do all kind of have to come together and just suck it up, this last weekend I was out of town for a conference, and then it was one of those weekends we had every group that we have an affiliation with was hosting something this weekend. So it was one of those where, the girl that just got back from maternity leave and it was her son's second birthday. Sorry, you've got to work Saturday. My other coworker had family in town. He had to work. Clinical athletic trainer, brand new to the company, he came in and worked. Like, everybody just came together and got it done, despite having family things and all that going on. They worked it around work because we had to. But when we also can take personal time, we respect that person needs to take that personal time. And I think having those discussions in your workplace, and particularly in the athletic training workplace, because we're so close together and we're doing everything for so many hours a day together, I think it's really important to establish that. And it's really helped me find that better balance a little bit than what I used to have. So it works for us.
All right. So Megan, kind of walk me through a conversation, how you might handle that. So I'm coming up to you. Hey, Megan, my dad is in the hospital out of town. I have to go out of town for a week. Can you help me out?
I wouldn't be making that decision. That would be my boss. But if it's, I'm in charge of our sports medicine calendar, right? So all of our PRN athletic trainers, all of our staff athletic trainers that work events, I'm the point person that any of our affiliates schedules anything with, and then I schedule the athletic trainer for those events. And I've worked it out a way where, one, I try to schedule the same athletic trainer with one group. So that way, if there is a conflict, something like that, they can communicate directly with that group and with me, and then I can find a substitute for that. And then also, if it's just a one-day thing and somebody can swap shifts or, swap a game, things like that, absolutely. If I can cover that for you, then great, I'll do that. A one-day kind of thing we can do. If it's anything like you said, a week, I'm not in charge of that. That's my boss. But we all, if it's stuff like that, we're all going to come together and understand. Now, as a single person, I'm not going to walk in secretly having planned a week-long trip to Italy and say that my grandfather, whatever, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? So if it's something like you're saying with a family member situation, something like that, obviously we're going to take care of that for a week-long thing. Now, if I do want to go to Newfoundland for 10 days this summer, I'm going to plan that 6 months in advance with my boss and have that set up so I can take that amount of time off. Again, it goes back to that communication, that planning. It just varies on the type of situation, really. If it's a one-off thing, somebody's wrecked their car in the morning, we're going to try to cover that and get you taken care of, and that's not going to be a big deal. My dog's gotten sick before. I have no one to take care of her but me, and I don't want to leave her alone for 8 hours a day in my apartment not knowing what's going on. She can't tell me what's wrong. So I've had to call in sick for my dog before. It's not something I want to do, but my coworkers have really understood that and made it work. So,
all right, gotcha. John, so you're at Bloomfield by yourself, correct?
Correct, yes.
So you don't have the situation to where, like I said, if you're single, I'm married, we're working together, but if we do that, then what if I come over there and say, hey, John, I got to go out of town for a week. So what's that going to look like for you? What is the conversation going to sound like to you?
I've dealt with this with my interns before. I get interns from Central Michigan University every semester. This is my first semester I haven't had one, and 6 years, I think. But I always tell them when I have an intern, you know, let's plan these things in advance. If you know you're going to be going somewhere, you know, let me know. We'll plan around those things. If something comes up and you have to go, and you know, I'm understanding about those things. You know, I had an intern last year, I think. The years all kind of jumbling together now, but she had an opportunity to go to Italy for a week because her grandfather passed away and left the tickets with her grandma. So she spent a week in Italy with her grandmother, and you know, that was one of those things I was very understanding, and I understood that she needed time with her family. And it was kind of last minute, but you know, I'm not going to be that person that's going to stop her from a, you know, a very important life event. So you know, I'm open to those things. You know, they do come up, you know, but you know, I do try to make sure that people are planning things in advance, or like you said, like Megan had said, 6 months in advance. You know, if you're going to go to Disneyland or to Italy or something like that, just try not to be, you know, try not to drop things on you a week in advance or 2 days before it happens.
So for me personally, if I get a call saying, hey, I'm going to be sick, or hey, I got to go out of town, then like my initial reaction is like, freaking, oh, why can't you plan this better? You know, and sometimes it is like, I don't know. And so then I'm like, well, you know, it's okay. I'll deal with it. I took off like a month whenever my third son was born. And so, because I was like, look, I've already got two kids at home, and my wife, I need to be there, and I won't ever get this time back. So but we planned that out once we knew we were pregnant. But the other thing is like, whenever those things happen, like when Bill's mom was in the hospital and he went up to help take care of her, I just sent an email to the athletic director, to the coaches, and said, hey, Bill's out. I'm going to be limited on what I can and can't do. You know, if you need something, obviously you guys all got a way to contact me. And so again, I wasn't going to say, no, you can't go, because he wouldn't have listened to me anyways. He was gone, right? He's got those days. He's going to use them. And so at that point, it comes back to what you were saying. He communicated with me as soon as he knew. I communicated with my wife. I communicated with the people I work with. And then we just make the best of it. And yeah, it is uncomfortable to have to work all those extra hours and extra games because, you know, something happens. But it is always going to happen. And that's why we are responsible and prepare for it, I guess. So,
yeah, that's the same situation when my dad went into the hospital. It was kind of last minute. I think I was actually getting ready to go into work, or maybe a little bit before that. And I just said, hey, I got to go. I'm not going to be there today. And I sent a text message, and then I followed it up, you know, when I had a few extra moments to give a call. But, you know, people, they will be understanding about those things, as long as you're not just saying, hey, I got a concert to go to tonight. Forgot to tell you, I bought these tickets 6 months ago. That's not you know, I can't really understand that. I'm going to make you come into work because you just didn't tell anybody. But yeah, things happen, and you know, you have to be understanding. And for the most part, I don't think I've ever had a problem with anybody at work saying, no, you can't do this. They understand our time is our time, and things will happen. So we have to, you know, we have to attend to those things.
And going right off of your concert example, that's actually one of my favorite things to do and why I moved back to the city. It goes the other way too. If a last minute work thing comes up and it's last minute and I've had those concert tickets for 6 months, I'm going to tell them, no, I've had these concert tickets for 6 months. I can't come in. You know, and I think when I originally said, I think that's when I first started noticing getting the third degree of like, well, why can't you just not do that? Well, no, that was my thing that I planned to do that was important to me. And this last minute work thing is a last minute work thing. If it was planned and scheduled, I would have scheduled around that. So I think that goes both ways. Exactly what you were saying, John, that that communication has to happen. And sometimes you just have to say no to make it your time, whether it's, you know, something you've had planned for a long time and works during a last minute thing on you. Or, and I know secondary school athletic trainers get that a lot, where it's, oh, I forgot to tell you there's practice tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and you've got your son's baptism to do. No, I'm not going to be there, coach. You know, it's difficult to say no sometimes, but I think as athletic trainers, we're learning we have to, and that's okay. It doesn't mean we're not doing our job. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we're unwilling. It just means that we expect better communication because our work-life balance is so crazy. And I think that that's important for us to continue to work on doing as a profession.
Right. Yeah. I have a spring sports start next week here in Michigan. So we have a preseason coaches meeting actually tomorrow night. So I've got 1,000 things I need to cover with them. I'm going to brush over a lot of it. And the big thing I'm going to talk about tomorrow night with my coaches is communication. Please do not tell me we're hosting a Saturday tournament on Thursday night, Friday morning. I'm not going to be there. I have other things planned. You guys are SOL. You need to tell me these things up front. And I'm going to do the same thing for you. It's having open communication with your coaches and making sure that they understand that I'm here year round and your season is only, you know, 15 weeks of the year. I have other things going on and I understand that things are going to change. You know, Michigan weather in the spring is nothing but ideal. So I know that my Saturdays coming up until, you know, May, they may be all open right now, but I know that probably 75% of them are going to get double booked or booked because of weather. You know, and I'm upfront with that on all different levels. So I'm going to tell my coaches, you know, if something comes up, I may not be there, but I'm also going to tell my friends and family, hey, I may have this weekend open, but I may have to work too. And you know, then it just comes down to me prioritizing. If I can come in to work for only a couple hours or if I have to leave work early, you know, people have to understand that I'm only one person for 1,200 student athletes and, you know, my family as well. So I need to be able to split time with both those things or get out of something early or leave for something early.
All right. And what I want here is your best advice or your best resource that you've had. So maybe it was your grandma or a book that you read about maintaining those relationships, about keeping your family first, about ways to disconnect from work, those type of things. So John, I'm going to start with you, your best advice or best resource or both.
So my best advice I think I've ever got was be with who makes you happy. You know, that's just going to be all around. So your friends, your family, you know, and the people you build those intimate relationships with, you know. So I unfortunately had to learn this going through a divorce. You know, my wife had decided she wasn't happy and I was the person that I really wanted to be married and I was going to try to do everything I could to keep us married. But I didn't realize that I was very, very unhappy in the marriage myself. You know, I'd become, you know, just unhappy overall. So, you know, we split our ways and, you know, it was a very amicable divorce. You know, I have no hard feelings towards my ex-wife at all. You know, I hope she's very happy now and I'm extremely happy. I'm going to be with, friends that keep me happy. I'm going to stay in contact with those that, are important to me and the ones that make me happy overall. You know, I'm not going to be in a friendship or a relationship with somebody that's not going to keep me happy. I know it's not going to be 100% of the time. I'm not going to see a friend and, you know, they're always going to be cheerful or make me cheerful. But, you know, overall, I want to be with somebody that's going to make my time here worth it. I want to be as happy as possible. I don't want to be upset or I don't want to hold grudges with people. So one of the things I read going through my divorce was a book called Resilience. I was kind of going through a fairly depressed time and I read this book. It was about two Navy SEALs. One was going through a lot of drug and alcohol addiction. The other one was, you know, they graduated from the academy at the exact same time and one took a life path and he was married and happy and very, very successful in business. And the other one was, you know, retired from the military and basically homeless. And they were writing letters back and forth to each other. And a big part of the book was choosing things that make you happy and choosing the right paths that are going to keep you happy. So it was a pretty tough book to read, kind of going through that part of my life. But, you know, just to read different stories and how guys are dealing with these things, you know, made me realize what I needed in my life, too. So finding hobbies, finding things that I like to do, finding things that keep me out of my life and keep me out of things that are going to be too serious. You know, that was one of the things I never had kind of growing up. As an adult, I guess, being married and working with, you know, through work and college and grad school, I never really had a hobby. I was just that type of person that would go to work, go to school, do this, do that, and not take time for myself. And I didn't realize how important that was. So trying to pick up a hobby was tough, you know, especially at 30 some years old, you know, trying to play with Legos or color or read, you know, it's a weird thing to pick up at that late in life. But, you know, I think I've found some things that keep me happy and occupy my time and make me not think about life or make me not think about work and try to reset my feelings on, you know, where I'm at and day to day or, you know, whatever. Having something outside of all that to keep you happy is very, very important.
Megan?
Yeah, I agree. You know, as far as that goes, the work-life balance is always tough for us. And then particularly as a single person, you don't have that you don't have that spouse to lean on or the kids to help fulfill your day. That's why a lot of us have pets. that helps. But, you know, I don't have any set – I don't have a real glamorous story of any advice. You know, I've just kind of learned along the way to take time for myself and – You know, I moved back to Houston 4.5 years ago, and I never had any desire to move back to Houston. I loved my job at Salisbury University. I was working at a therapy clinic there and contracted out to the university. Both my teams were national championship contenders. I worked a little bit less hours in the winter and summer, so I was able to enjoy the outdoors and things like that. But I just was unhappy in that town. The things I do like to do are eat at Indian restaurants, Kenyan restaurant, Mexican restaurant, whatever. Like, I like going different culture and food and concerts and immersing myself in different culture and stuff. And that just wasn't happening in a county of 30,000 people on the eastern shore of Maryland. And so I realized that one of these cliche sayings I used to say to my athletic training students, work to live, not live to work, was actually the opposite of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I love my job. Don't get me wrong. If I could have picked that job up and moved it here, I'd be great right now. But, you know, I wasn't working to live. It was the other way around. And so I had to make a change and it was scary. And I moved back to Houston without even having a job in my 30s. It was nuts, but it's been 4.5 years of growth since I've moved back. But I think that's exactly right. I've just found that balance. And I think for me, the biggest key was realizing the other cliche thing I used to always quote and say to my students and my coaches was lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. And I think that is really true. And that has really helped me say no to a few things that really are going to be okay if I say no to. They'll learn that lesson and it will probably make work go a little bit easier in the future. I'm not being negligent. I'm not doing anything like that that's going to cause a major problem. But I'm saying no for myself and my personal well-being and my mental health so that I can go to book club and play volleyball once a week and go see that concert that's been on my bucket list since I was 15. So for me, that's what's important, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I think it's been really good finding that balance with my coworkers who are married and have kids, too. Been a growing thing for us, but they respect it now, and I certainly respect everything they have going on with their kids too. Just because I'm a single person doesn't mean I don't care that you have kids or your kid has a birthday party, but it needs to go both ways, not one way. And I think for me that's been the biggest thing, is actually living my life by those things and not just saying them to people.
Yeah, that's huge.
All right, I'm gonna come back to this question. I want both of you to answer that now, since we're recording this during March, which is National Athletic Training Month. I want both of you to give me one athletic trainer that you would like to thank. So I'm going to come back to that in just 1 second. So think about your one athletic trainer you would like to thank and why. All right. So some of the things that I would recommend, a dog barking, five love languages for men. It really helps you understand your wife. So, or the woman you're dating. And then Financial Peace University for taking care of your money, because then you're not stressed with work and with money. Again, I teach that class here at my church. We went through it. We paid off $68,000 in 22 months. My wife is able to stay home. We have a fully funded emergency fund. I've talked about that more than once. Again, that's a resource that I definitely recommend. But one of the things that I was able to do was get involved with our outdoor education program, and they go camping. And so regularly I get to take my kids, go on a field trip with school and go camping, something that I really, really enjoy, but I was never really able to do because my wife wasn't all for it. And so, like John was saying, finding that hobby and finding a way to do it. And even better, I found a way to do it while being part of work. Like, I got a comp day at work, so I didn't have to go to a day of staff development because I was going on a weekend camping trip. And so, you know, it doesn't get much better for me that I'm getting to miss work or, you know, whatever, getting to hang out with people, getting to do something I love, getting to take my family. So just like John was saying, finding a hobby. And then like Megan, you were saying, you got to be able to say no. A couple weeks ago, we had a soccer coach, hey, we screwed up the schedule and we were supposed to play over there, but they thought we were playing here. So we're just going to play a game after this. Like, okay, well, have fun. Put up the coolers when you're done. Because I had one soccer game scheduled and my wife had an appointment scheduled that afternoon. And I was like, look, I'm not staying for that. You can't tell me at 11 or 10 o'clock that you have a game at 12 o'clock and expect me to be here. I'm sorry. And so it was that thing. You just have to learn to say, just like Megan said, because you didn't plan, that doesn't change what I have to do. You know, if it's weather, if it's a lightning delay, you know, that's part of the job of athletic training. But when it's just your lack of preparation or planning, then, you know, that's your fault. So,
and their disrespectful lack of even communicating that to you when they found out. They had to plan that at some point. Mm-hmm. To say, oh, you know what, maybe we'll host it here. Let me go check with my athletic trainer and see if he's all right with that. I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, no. Yeah. There's multiple ways to handle that. And so I'm glad that you said no and taught them that lesson.
So, all right. John, I'm going to start with you.
Yes.
Athletic trainer you'd like to thank.
I've thought about this a handful of times. I think I can't remember who I talked about last year. I'm going to say Tim Caberna. Tim Caberna's athletic trainer at Hope College right now. He was a head athletic trainer at Albion when I got started. He was that person that, you know, he showed me the hard work of athletic training and the reward of it as well. You know, he was very big on, you know, before I even realized it, work-life balance. You know, he was big on it, but he also, you know, impressed upon me the importance of our profession and building relationships as well. You know, Tim's a very stoic person, but at the same time, you know, he could be a really funny person. And, you know, I admired his spirit, and I still do admire his spirit. He's still around. You know, I don't get a chance to see him as much or talk to him, but he's definitely a person that's, you know, every day I kind of think about, you know, and if I could build my career after Tim and, you know, the relationships that he's built and, you know, the hard work he's put into to work. I know we're not always recognized and, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, maybe people shouldn't know who athletic trainers are all the time. You know, if we're doing too much work, it means our teams aren't doing that great. I enjoy being that person in the background and, you know, I enjoy the recognition, but a little bit too much recognition isn't a good thing. So Tim kind of is the person that I think about on a daily, weekly basis. The other person I thought about, I'm going to break the rules here. The other person I think about is Tom Ford. He's the head athletic trainer at Oakland University and a really good friend of mine. He's been there for 782 years, I think. I may be off on the amount of years he's been there, but he's very well liked. He's very well respected here in Michigan and at Oakland University. And you know, if I can build a career off of how Tom has done his and stayed at one place for a long time and being very well respected, I'd love to do the same thing. So Tom Ford and Tim Caberna.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir. Megan.
I think I'm going to go with, I mean, there's so many people, and I'm usually a top three or a top five person when anybody asks me for my favorite anything or this one thing. But I'm going to go with David Gish, and I think one of the reasons for that is we used to have staff meetings every Wednesday as a staff. I was a graduate assistant there, and I was talking about how, you know, people have to come in for their kids or whatever, and that other single coworker and I decided we were going to call for Single Women Day time every once in a while. And we announced this to everyone in our Wednesday staff meeting that, you know, because I think that particular spring there had been a slew of kids' illnesses and things like that, and her and I were the ones just sucking it up and covering everybody. And so kind of as a joke, but also to make the point, we just announced from time to time we're going to ask for single women's time, and you guys are going to cover that. And he just took it in stride and had a laugh and, you know, probably cracked a joke about it at the time during the meeting, but then came and talked to us individually after the meeting. It was like, you know, I didn't realize we were having that effect. Let's definitely, if you need to go get your car tuned or whatever, just holler, that kind of thing. And it was very much on board with it for real, even though we kind of did it as a joke. And he was just that guy, like, just always had your back like that. And, you know, he was old school, but he was new school at the same time. And that was something I really respected about him. So I would say David Gish, and then I'm also going to cheat and list another one. And my girls from college, Tara, Jen, and Molly, the four of us have gone completely different paths in life and career. And if it wasn't for them, you know, who knows how I'd be feeling about my career and my life balance and all that. So having that group of girls has been great. So that's off to them too.
All right, very good. I had five athletic trainers, four athletic trainers in college and three athletic trainers in high school. So I had a lot of supervising athletic trainers growing up, but one of them is David Close. He's actually an athletic trainer in Georgia now. He left Houston Baptist to go back to Georgia where he was working at track for the University of Georgia, or UGA, whatever. And that was my sophomore and junior year of college. And there was just a lot that I needed to learn and about professionalism, about how to work, how to do things. So he taught me a lot about athletic training, but most of the time the lessons you remember is not just about athletic training. It's about the other things that they do. And so he was pretty understanding of some of my immature things that I did. And he also taught me a lot, and he expected a lot of me. So David Close, thanks for kind of shaping me into the athletic trainer that I am today, and also some of the person that I am today. So with that being said, John, if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Wow, there's a lot. My Twitter info, I know, Jeremy, you're big on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is at John Cieko, so JohnCieko. That's my personal one. And then I also run our sports medicine at Bloomfield Hills. So it's BHHSSPORTSMED. So BHHS Sports Med. I run that as well. So those are my two Twitter info. And then my email address is jcieko@bloomfield.org. So if anybody ever needed to get a hold of me that way, goes right to my phone. So I will answer. Unfortunately, I will answer very quick.
All right. There you go, Megan.
I am on all the social media outlets. However, Twitter is just, we don't compute together. I don't know what it is. But I am on that. I think my Twitter handle is at Meg Mick MC. So it's MEGMCKAT. So like Meg McKay, a athletic trainer. That's my Twitter handle. I just have to look it up. So that's my Twitter handle. I think that's my Instagram and Facebook as well. And then, but the best way to get in touch with me is my email. Megan, MEGHAN.McKay, MCKAY, at BCM for Baylor College of Medicine .edu. And I run all their social media pages as well, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for BCM Sports Medicine. So check us out on there as well. And you can DM me on any of those because I run all those as well. So any of those are a good way to get in touch.
All right, fantastic. I know John said you're planning on coming down to Houston for NATA. I'm going to be setting up at the Frio Hydration booth, so I'm going to be interviewing people, so hopefully I'll be able to meet up with you, John, and catch you there, maybe do a quick interview, and I think Rob said he may even have a way for me to kind of broadcast the interviews that we're doing, so it's pretty cool. So check me out at the Frio Hydration booth. Once we get the numbers, then I'll start posting that as well, exactly where, but I'm sure you'll be able to find me or Robbie. Robbie's really loud, and he's a lot of fun, So Rob at Frio Hydration is going to hook me up with a little spot to kind of hang out and do some interviews there while we're at the National Convention NATA 2017 here in Houston. So without much further ado, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/relationships2. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/relationships2. If there's any of this stuff you want to get from the show notes or Megan's or John's email or any of that stuff, then that is linked in there. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/relationships2. Because I have another nurturing relationships with married people as well, and that's relationships. Just relationships. So check that out. Find me in Houston, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. I am Jeremy Jackson. Megan, say goodbye.
Bye. Thanks for having me on. It's great. Nice to meet you, John.
Nice to meet you. See you later.
All right. Bye, guys.